जैया राधा मदाब कुंजा बिहारे गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिभर धारे जैया गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिभर धारे यशोदन नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदन नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा बनाचारे जमुना तीरा बनाचारे जैया राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारे जैया राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारे गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिभर धारे जैया गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिभर धारे यशोदन नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदन नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा बनाचारी जमुना तीरा बनाचारे जैया राधा मदाब कुंज बिहारे जैया राधा मदाब कुंज बिहारे जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिद्राज गचार्य आशतोत्तर शत शिष्यमान हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज गचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत शिष्यमान हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमं भागवतं की निताय गौर प्रेमनंदी ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज O glorissu de assembo devotis. O glorissu shishiguru anshigoranga. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, entitled Liberation, Chapter 9, The Dynasty of Amsuman. Text number 6. Sri Bhagiratha Uvacha Sadavo Nyashina Shanta Brahmishta Lokapavanaha. Haram tyagam tenga sangat tishvaste hi agabhidhari. Shadavo nyashina shanta brahmishta lokapavanaha. Harantya ghantena tenga sangat tishvaste hyagabhi darihi. Sadavo nyashina shanta brahmishta lokapavanaha. Haryantya ghantenga sangat tishvaste hyagabhi darihi. Please chant. Lokapavanaha Harantya gantanga shangad Tishvaste hyagabhi dharihi. Shri Bhagiratha uvacha Shadabo nyashina shanta Brahmishta lokapavanaha. Haryantya ghante anga sangat Tishvaste hyagabhi dharihi. Sri Bhagiratha uvacha. Bhagirath said, Shadabaha, saintly persons, Nyashinaha, sannyasis, Shanta, sorry, what are we here? Shantaha, peaceful, free from material disturbances. Brahmishtaha, expert in following the regulated principles of Vedic scriptures. Lokapavanaha, who are engaged in delivering the entire world from a fallen condition. Haranti shall remove agham, the reactions of sinful life. Te, of you, Mother Ganges, Angashangat, by bathing in the Ganges water. Teshu, within themselves. Ashte, there is he indeed, Aghabhit, the Supreme Personality, who can vanquish all sinful activities. Harihi, the Lord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Bhagirath said, those who are saintly because of devotional service and are therefore in the renounced order, free from material desires, and who are pure devotees, expert in following the regulated principles mentioned in the Vedas, are always glorious and pure in behavior, and are able to deliver all fallen souls. When such pure devotees bathe in your water, the sinful reactions accumulated from other people will certainly be counteracted. For such devotees always keep in the core of their hearts the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can vanquish all sinful reactions. Purport. Mother Ganges is available to everyone for bathing. Therefore, not only will sinful persons bathe in the Ganges water, but in Haridwar and other holy places where the Ganges flow, saintly persons and devotees will also bathe in the water of the Ganges. Devotees and saintly persons and advance in the renounced order can deliver even the Ganges. Tirtha kurvanti tirthani shanta stena gadabrita. Bhagavatam 1:13:10. Because saintly devotees always keep the Lord within the court of their hearts, they can perfectly cleanse the holy places of all sinful reactions. Therefore, people in general must always respectfully honor saintly persons. It is ordered that as soon as one sees a Vaishnava or even a sannyasi, one should immediately offer respect to such a holy man. If one forgets to show respect in this way, one must observe a fast for that day. This is a Vedic injunction. One must be extremely careful to refrain from committing offenses at the lotus feet of a devotee or a saintly person. There are methods of prayaschitta or atonement, but they are inadequate to cleanse one's of sinful reactions. One can be cleansed of sinful reactions only by devotional service, as stated in regard to the story of Ajamil. Kechit kavalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayanaha agham dumbanti karsnyena niharam iva bashkaraha. Quote, only a rare person who has adopted complete unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful actions with no possibilities that they will revive. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. Bhagavatam 6:1:15. If if one is under the protection of a devotee and sincerely renders service unto him, by this process of bhakti yoga, one is certainly able to counteract all sinful reactions. Sri Bhagirata Uvacha, Shadabo Nyashina Shanta Bhamishta Loka Pavanaha Harantya Gantenga Shangat Teshwastehya Gabi Dari. Bhagirath said, those who are saintly because of devotional service and are therefore in the renounced order, free from material desires, and who are pure devotees, expert in following the regulated principles mentioned in the Vedas, are always glorious and pure in behavior and are able to deliver all fallen souls. When such pure devotees bathe in your water, the sinful reactions accumulated from other people will certainly be counteracted. For such devotees always keep in the core of their hearts the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can vanquish all sinful reactions. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Umilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Vasaya Bhutale Srimate Rupa Swami. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Vasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasyatyade Satarine Vancha kalpa tarubhya sha kripa sindhu vyeva cha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. So, King Bhagirata is answer the concerns of Mother Ganga, who accepted to give the benediction of descending into this world, into the material, into the, this earthly region, and being able to free or liberate the 60 sons of Maharaj Sagar, 60,000 sons of Maharaj Sagar, who were the forefathers of Maharaj Bhagirath. But she have a condition. The condition was that someone should be able to withhold the force of her descent, because it was not someone who was able to withhold that force, she was going to pierce through the earth and just cut through and then go all the way to the deepest of the planetary system, the Patala Loka. So the first one was that you know, if I'm going to descend, if you don't have someone to properly contain this force, then it's not going to do it. And the next one was a personal concern. Mother Ganga said that she will, you know, by doing that, by having her pure waters in earth, then sinful people will come and bathe and deposit their sins in the waters of the Ganges. And then one can imagine the accumulated sinful of all the people that goes there to deposit that. That at one point she understood that, you know, I won't be able to. How I'm gonna get purified of this? So Maharaj Bhagirath is answer the question of the concern of how she's going to be purified. The first, the one who's going to contain the force of the Ganges descent is Lord Shiva. And so we're going to hear how Maharaj Bhagirat prayed to Lord Shiva to perform this task of withholding the force of the descents of Mother Ganga. And then King Bhagirat explains that the presence of the pure devotees will purify her of the accumulated sinful reactions of the sinful people that comes to bathe in her waters. And he explains why you know the pure devotees will be able to free her, and it's because within the pure devotee's heart the Lord's reside, and the Lord's is the supreme pure. Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita he prays the Lord as Param Dhamma Param Bhavan Pavitram. Pavitram idan uttaman. Pavitram means you're the purest, the greatest purifier. So the Lord can vanquish all sinful reactions just by his presence. And Prabhupada quote also the famous verse that Maharaj Yudhisthira, also when Vidura, Mahatma Vidura, came back to Hastinapuri after the battlefield of Kurukshetra, after many, many years of pilgrimage, then when he came back, Maharaj Yudhisthira offered these beautiful prayers to Vidura. He says that Prabhupada calls Tirtha Bhuta Swajam Bhibhut Tirtha Kurbanti Tirthani Tirtha Kurbanti Tirthani, that that he say, my Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified, because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart. You turn all places into places of pilgrimage. So the places of pilgrimage are places of pastimes of the Lord, and they're meant for purifying the conditioned souls. We hear that's one of the five principles that can actually revive bhakti, to be in a holy place, to reside in a holy place. And however, what makes the holy places, what is the main feature or the purifying feature of the holy places, besides of being a place of pastimes of the Lord, is that one receives the associations of the saintly devotees. Because the saintly devotees, they reside in these holy places. It's just and therefore the recommendation is that one have to be very careful to when one goes to a holy place to search for the association of the holy devotees or the pure devotees or the devotees that reside at the Vaishnavas. And if one does not do that, according to Lord Brahma, one's intelligence is not greater than that of a cow. That in general, you know, the cows are, they have limited intelligence. according to the to Lord Brahma. And as useless, as foolish as an ass. So Lord Brahma said this. Actually, no, no, I'm sorry, it was not Lord Brahma. These prayers were this is different type of prayers. I can't remember who gave those prayers, but famous. Prabhupada quotes it a lot. Yasyatma buddhi kunapetri datuke swadhi kalatradishu bhauma ijyati yatirta buddhi salilena karhishit yagyeshu abhigyeshu sa eva gokara. Gokara means a cow, bo. Kara means an ass. So anyone who does these three different things is recognized as, you know, in the level, in the same level of a cow or an ass. Yashyatma buddhi kunapetri datuke. One considers the self, the body, the self to be this material body that is consists of three datus or three elements, mucus, bile, and air. And then swadhi kalatradishu bauma ijyadi. The next one. One considers that family and the social group that one belongs is ours, and that the land of birth is worshipable. You know, when one recognizes oneself in a particular place. And then this one, Yatirta buddhi shalirena karhichit, then one goes to the holy places simply to take bath or simply to purify, to become purified from your impious activities, for atonement or for some piety, but not for the purpose of associating with the saintly devotees. So if one do this type of thing, such a person is not better than a cow and an ass, or an ass. So why people go to the holy places, and specifically here in this verse is refer to the Ganges, to bathe in the Ganges, in the holy waters of the Ganges, is to become free from sinful reactions. And so these are activities that are recommended in the Karmakanda session of the Vedas. They're called prayaschitta or atonement. And this is a common practice that we have in religions too, because, you know, we see the Catholic Church, people go and confess their sins, and then they're given, you know, something to do. So you sing, you know, these prayers, however, Marys and this and that, and so you do some sort of atonement, and then you will be free from the sinful from the reactions of that sin. So this method of prayaschitta is recommended. It's recommended for the purification. So people go to the holy places for that. People come to the temple also for the same purpose, for the purpose of piety, for having a good reaction, also for sometimes as a method of purification, to have, you know, to become free from any dangers of reactions, sinful reactions. And but if we do that and we're not aware we basically neglect or offend the devotees that resides in the holy places, then that is a very, very big mistake. And this was highlighted, Prabhupada also quoted from the story of Ajamil. And in the story of Ajamil, this is very, very, very highlighted. Because the story of Ajamil is in the beginning of the sixth canto. The first chapter of the sixth canto. Maharaj Parikshit starts that canto. It's right after the fifth canto that describes the hellish planets. And Maharaj Parikshit, after hearing the horrors of the situation that people, that living entities have to go through in the hellish regions, the amount of suffering, like extreme suffering, that they have to go through as a result of their sinful activities, then Maharaj Parikshit asks, you know, the question to Sukadev Goswami, that he have heard from Sukadev Goswami how there is these two paths, you know, I mean, through the six cantos, starting in the second canto, when Sukadev Goswami start to answer the question of Maharaj Parikshit, he described the two different paths, the path of Nibriti Marg and the path of Pavriti Marg. The path of Pavriti Marg is the path of Nibriti Marg is looking not at the immediate thing but looking at the long term. So the path of Nibriti Marg is the path of renunciation, that you renounce this world. And the path of Pavriti Marg is the path that one takes a gradual, following the instructions of the Vedas, and gradually try to elevate oneself. In the path of Pavriti Marg, it becomes apparent that there's a lot of danger, there's a lot of possibilities of falling down, because one has to follow very, very carefully all the injunctions of the Vedas. But because one is dealing with material desires, when one's indulged in material, with the material world, and there is the fruitive intention, then because there is fruitive intention, then there is this actions and reactions that takes place. So there is a lot of possibilities that one can fall down, that one can make mistakes. So when one makes mistakes, there is this process of prayaschitta that allows one to atone for those mistakes. However, there's a lot of possibilities to fall down. The fact that the description of these hellish planets is there. So Maharaj Parikshit asks a question. How can the people of the world become free he say, "Oh, greatly fortunate and opulent Sukadev Goswami, now kindly tell me how human beings may be saved from having to enter hellish conditions in which they suffer terrible pains." So how can people become free from this terrible situation and danger that is just inbuilt, is common? And Sukadev Goswami then test the intelligence of Maharaj Parikshit. The first thing that he said was just this: they have to carefully follow this process of prayaschitta, this process of atonement, according to the books of the Manu Sanhita and the Dharma Shastra. So he explained that, you know, just like when someone is sick, an expert physician will give a particular type of food and then people can become free from the disease. But Maharaj Parikshit didn't accept that. He said that one may do all this process of atonement, and, you know, either by understanding, just seeing how all the criminals get punished, you know, or by seeing how criminals also get rejected by society, or simply by understanding by the scriptures that one is going to suffer in hell for these things, for criminal acts. So one may follow this process of atonement and become free from the reaction of that sinful act. However, he noticed that still the tendency to commit the sinful acts doesn't become vanquished, remains still there. That, you know, one is even forced to act in that way, even knowing that, you know, it brings, you know, a terrible reaction. You may end in a hellish situation with great suffering. Maharaj Parikshit then give the famous analogy of the bathing of the elephant. What is the use of the bathing of the elephant? The elephant bathes himself thoroughly, but as soon as he comes out, he throws dirt over his own self. So one becomes again and again victimized by this sinful tendency. The process of prayaschitta or atonement doesn't remove the tendency to sin from the heart. So, bathing in the Ganges, yes, it frees you for those reactions, but that tendency doesn't go away. Coming to the temple it brings all auspiciousness for the devotee, but but that not necessarily will remove that tendency. The tendency for fruitive desires and the reactions that brings doesn't remove it. So Sukadev Goswami, he confirms what Maharaj Parikshit said. So he said that because this prayaschitta is also fruitive, you're basically doing an action for having a particular, you know, a particular result. I'm going to bathe so I can be free. I'm going to bring this offering so I can have this piety, this thing. So there is a fruitive mentality when you do these pious actions or these atonements. So because there's a fruitive mentality, then doesn't eliminate the fruitive tendency. So how can that happen? Then Sukadev Goswami said, then you must cultivate perfect knowledge from the Vedas. So now, the first answer of Sukadev Goswami was karma kanda. You follow this karma kanda process of atonement. But now he agrees with Maharaj Pariksit and say, but actually jnana kanda. Jnana kanda, by cultivating knowledge, then you can become free from its propensity. But Maharaj Pariksit also didn't fully feel, his heart was not satisfied, because the jnanis, they may become free from material conception, but they can fall down too, again into the material world. And then once you fall down into the material world, there's always the danger that you keep falling down. And, you know, quoting the verse, not Maharaj Pariksit, but Prabhupada confirms that by quoting the famous prayer of Lord Brahma, Yeniera Vindaksha Vimukta Maninas Tvajiyas Tavava Avishuddha Buddhaya Aruhyo Krichena Padam Padantata Padanti Ado Nadrita Yusman Angra Yaha, that the jnanis, they think themselves to be perfectly liberated, but their intelligence is still polluted because they haven't fully taken shelter of acknowledge the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead. They soon fall down. Very soon they fall down from that position. So the jnanis can also fall down. So then there is this verse that Prabhupada quote. Then Sukadev Goswami then said that actually, yes, only devotional service is the one practice who will be able to fully eliminate the propensity to sin. So this only a rare person who have adopted complete unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful actions with no possibilities that they will revive. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. So this is the proper process. So therefore, how we receive devotional service, yesterday we heard. Hare Krishna, please speak after the class, then you can speak. Thank you. Yesterday we heard that how we receive devotional service, we receive devotional service by association with the devotees. So it's very important to, when you come to the temple, to actually be very respectful to the devotees. One should be very attentive to hear from the devotees, to hear the messages that what would revive our devotional service. Anyway, I stop here. Any comments or questions? There's a microphone there if you need.
Krishna. I heard this last point of like Jnanis and the Karmakanda. I heard this point in Nectar of Devotion. There's like the, I'm not sure if you've seen the picture of like first the seed, and then like the seed of sinful activity, then the sinful activity, then the sinful reaction. And Gokulananda Prabhu said nicely, like shared a nice point that like the karma kanda can take away like the sinful reaction, and then jnana can take away like the tendency to sin, or it takes away, not the tendency to sin, but sinful activity, like because you know better, so you're not gonna sin because you have the knowledge, but still you have the tendency to fall down.
Right.
But bhakti is the only thing that uproots the tendency of the seed, because in the root of all the sin is ignorance, avidya, and bhakti is the only thing that takes away the ignorance. So just sharing what I remember from that.
Yeah, and it's quite something that it's also a symptom of kanishta, that ones don't see. You know, that's why, you know, in the neophyte stage, we still don't experience, you know, the full bliss of devotional service. We're still, you know, dealing with mixed stuff, material and spiritual. Because in the kanishta platform, we also don't see much the devotees. You know, we have a little bit of a tunnel vision, you know. We're still fruitive. You know, we're still looking at results. If I do this, I should get this. And this fruitive mentality it blinds you. It's amazing how it works. You know, like, you know, even really nice, sweet persons, when you have a fruitive, you know, thing, almost the common sense start to, you know, it doesn't manifest fully. Yeah? You know, common respect doesn't, you don't see it because you just have a particular purpose. What is the purpose when you come to a holy place? You know, you take darshan of the deities, you make an offering, you receive the, you know, and then you take prasadam and you go. Or you come to the, you know, bathing ghat in the holy place, you take bath, you come out, you know, it's all, you lose that type of thing. It applies also to us. Sometimes we have the purpose in mind, you know, I have to achieve this, or I have to, even my personal purification, and then we start to don't see around or becomes less conscious of our surrounding and other devotees, and then, you know, and even some, and even the deities, you know, and the whole thing. So that's when we commit some offenses, and the offenses is what slow down the process of purification. So what is the atonement that we made? So we daily performing, as in the process of purification, sadhana bhakti, there is also the practices that allow us to purify our mistakes. So, you know, by circumambulating Tulsi Maharani, by offering daily obeisances to the devotees, Vancha Kalpa Taruvyasha, by chanting of the holy name, and by the performance of devotional service, by listening to the Bhagavatam, by worshipping the deities, we're becoming, you know, purified from all these things. So now, as the purification process goes, we become more conscious, Krishna conscious. But it's quite something when you have a fruitive mentality, even, you know, pious, even if it's piety, you know, you just don't see. So the Bhagavatam, they use the very harsh words, you're not better than a cow and an ass, which is very harsh, but it's their words, you know. And the comparison is that, you know, you're losing the opportunity, the real opportunity, because this process of atonement, in one sense, is a waste of time. Like, there's also a famous verse that says, this is Lord Brahma also, "My dear Lord, devotional service unto you is the best path for self-realization. If someone give up the path and engages in the cultivation of a speculative knowledge, he will simply undergo a troublesome process and will not achieve his desired result. As a person who beats an empty husk of wheat cannot get grain, one who simply speculates cannot achieve self-realization. His only gain is trouble." So really, any other process is just wasting your energy and time. The only result will be trouble, suffering. So that's the thing, you know. Any other comment or questions? Thank you so much. Grantara Shiman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.